thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
Erev Tov, good evening. Praise the Lord. I made a note here today when I was in prayer that I think I'll just kind of read it to you. I think all of us have certain mentors and friends that have greatly influenced our lives. And before I read a opening scripture, I'm reminded of a dear friend that's passed on now, Dr. Carl Harwood, that was a great blessing in this area. And one time he spoke something to me that I've never forgotten since. Carl said, one thing that would really help me in the ministry, if I would follow his advice and read a chapter every day from the book of Proverbs. He says it will just enlighten your pathway as you go forth. And he was a great friend, and kind of in remembrance of him, I'd like to refer to a verse in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7. And it tells us that wisdom is the principal thing. That verse says, if we can get wisdom, it'll guide us in our pathway. But the rest of Proverbs 4, 7 says that wisdom will impart to us understanding, and understanding then will guide us on our pathway into the future. I thank God that I have great remembrances of Carl. And moving ahead tonight, what the Lord put on my heart, there's a scripture in 1 Corinthians 10:32 that the Apostle Paul speaks about the division of human life that's on this planet. And he says it consists of the Jew, one, Israel, the Gentile nations, there was one Jewish nation and many Gentile nations, and the Church of God. When I first had the privilege to speak to you 2 weeks ago, I shared some very tremendous scriptures that we just need to be aware of. And in this prayer meeting tonight, we can pray about that. There are definitely some, I say reasonably imminent, I'm not a date setter, but there are some conflicts that are pretty well in place in Israel right now, and it's only going to take a spark from one side or the other to set that off. Then last Wednesday I shared with you just a tremendous theme of the scripture, the times of the Gentiles. Basically, it's the time that Gentile powers ruled over the Jewish nation and over Israel, their capital. And we're in that time now, the times of the Gentiles. But tonight, the theme in my heart involves things to come in and for the church. And seeking the Lord's wisdom for this service, my heart and mind have been flooded with encouraging biblical texts for we in the church. God wants us prepared for the next challenge that's coming, that's on its way. Concerning this present prophetic hour, I'll just refer, you can look these scriptures up later, but in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, we're told that prior to the latter day appearance of the Antichrist, the man of sin, the one the Bible calls the Assyrian, before he can come on the scene, there will be a time of spiritual falling away, spiritual decline. I might say that I see Alan Bonk here tonight. He's got a tremendous book on the Assyrian, which brings out in many truths concerning the coming Antichrist. That if you have a chance to get a copy of that book, I would encourage you to do it. It's been a blessing to me. What about the falling away? I wanted to pick out one scripture that maybe would kind of sum up what will happen. And Hebrews 12, 26 through 28 describes it thusly. Everything which can be shaken will be shaken, so that which can't be shaken will remain. I think of the challenge of faith. So many scriptures come to mind, but Psalm 103 verses 1 through 6 is a scripture that challenges the church. Verse 1 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul," and this is important, "forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who delivereth thy life from destruction and crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies." The Bible says in verse 5 and that text that he satisfieth our mouth with good things, so that our strength is renewed like the eagle. I had to find something that I could put an eagle on. The only thing I could find tonight is this eagle. So that's why I'm wearing this little thing around my neck. He'll satisfy our mouth with good things, so our strength is renewed like the eagle. God wants his people strong. He says in verse 6, that the Lord exercises righteousness and judgment for all who are oppressed. I keep running into so many people that are fighting oppression, and I say you have to win the battle in that area, because if you don't, it'll turn into depression. And so we're going to pray tonight that people here that are facing this, that God will set them free. There's a scripture that just overwhelmingly been put on my heart. It has to be by the Holy Spirit this last week. And I encourage you to look this up for yourself, but it's in Psalm 92, verse 10. And if I've ever felt there was a rhema, present word for the church for this hour, it's this verse, and it reads this way. "But my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil." I think all of us agree that our lives need to be anointed with a fresh presence of the Holy Spirit. That word for fresh in the Hebrew is ra'anan, and it means that God wants us to be vibrant, healthy, and strong. The statement, "My horn shall thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn," takes us back to a picture of the Ark of the Covenant that was in the Holy of Holies in the temple in Jerusalem. And on the four corners, there was a jettison like a chauffeur that's coming out of each corner. And it speaks of God wanting to strengthen us so our life is projected. I mean, promotion comes forth in our lives as a way of life. And a reference to the unicorn is a reference to a unicorn was a wild ox. I mean, you wouldn't take a hold of one of those and stop them. God wants us to be strong. Psalm 27:1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" It could go on in that psalm, but the final verse is verse 14, and it says, "Wait on the Lord, and he will encourage thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Hallelujah. You know, when I think of that verse about being anointed with fresh oil, when our God speaks of an anointing, I'm reminded of Psalm 68:19. It says, blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits. And I think if there's one thing that the church needs revelation on in this hour, it's in Romans 5:11. It says, we now. You got to add that word now in there. We have received the atonement, the reconciliation with God. And so that tells us that all of the benefits of Christ's death and burial and resurrection are now available to us. I thank God for that verse. I try to refer to it often in my own prayer time. I'd say today, if we move in and receive the kind of anointing that God wants to put on us, that the church has got to step forward and be strong. I think we should be as confident as Martin Luther was when he wrote, mighty fortress is our God. It came out of Psalm 46, which says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, make changes, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. There is a river, the streams whereof make glad the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. And that right early. I was thinking in my 50 plus years of being blessed to be in the Lord's work, I wonder how many times and I'm not a musician, but I can sing, especially if I'm fighting the devil. How about that little chorus? I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. And if you sing the first verse, you can't stop because you're anointed. You got to go on. Jesus is my Savior. I shall not be moved. I thank God for the strength that he gives us to continue our walk. But we need to be strong in this hour. I think as we receive the anointing that the Lord wants us to have in this hour, and I believe it goes right back to Psalm 92, verse 10, fresh oil. So what happened in the past? It happened, but what about today? I want to be freshly anointed today. As we experience that anointing, we don't lose the spirit of praise, but it picks up in our life. Psalm 22, verse 3 says, that's God's address. He inhabits the praises of his people. Psalm 33, verse 1, praises calmly to the upright. I mean, that's what we should be doing. That's what we're built for. It's a normal thing. I'm going to hope the Broncos win. I'll probably watch the game. But my number one priority in praise is not the Broncos, but it's my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the Bible says in Psalm 66, verse 8, that we're to let the voice of his praise to be heard. There's a verse that's meant a lot to me in my lifetime. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11 tells us, as Christians, Israel becomes our example. In the sense that take note of everything that they experienced. Where they made failures, correct those failures. Where they were blessed, step into those areas. Psalm 105, verse 37. Just think about some of the blessings that God put on the Jewish nation. He brought them forth with silver and gold. And at one point, there was not one feeble person in their tribes. It may be hard to believe, but that's what Psalm 105, verse 37 says. Exodus 23, 25, he says, serve me, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. I mean, God desires to do this for the church, and we've got to take that message to people. 3 John verse 2 says, I would above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. We have that covenant, that reconciliation, and we have it now. Surely, Isaiah 53:4 says, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But remember, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes we are healed. Hallelujah. All we like sheep, verse 6 of Isaiah 53 says, have gone astray. The Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. It's an hour that our country needs us to be strong so that we can cry out for the needs of our nation. I think of Psalm 34, I'd say verses 17 through 19, if you're writing this down. The Bible says, the righteous cry, the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that have a broken, contrite spirit, and delivereth them. Next verse says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, and the Lord delivereth him out of them all. It all goes right back to Psalm 23, verse 1. We have a shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In Hebrew, it's Mizmor, Ledavid, Adonai, Roi, Loexar. I'm not sick anymore. My God has delivered me. Give me victory. We have to learn to cry out to God. That's something I had to learn. I was brought up in a wonderful Christian home, small farming community back in Ohio. We were Presbyterians. We didn't have the revelation of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but that made a change in my life. The Bible says in Psalm 34, verse 6, that this poor man cried. The Lord heard him and delivered him out of all of his troubles. Verse 7, the angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that serve him and delivereth them. Hallelujah. I have to think of my experience down at 9th and Acoma. It was an amazing experience. I mean, God moved in such a tremendous way. But as a personal testimony, in an annual physical, the doctor spotted something he didn't like. It showed up on the x-ray. And I cried out to God so many times that I'm not a songwriter, but I wrote a song for myself. It was Jeremiah 17:14. And I would go in the sanctuary and just sing it. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved. I felt God really touch my body. The next year when I went back in for the annual physical, I asked the doctor, what about that spot you saw? He says, it's not there anymore. Thank God. I remember that Don Bleach was talking to me a little bit tonight about where Faith Bible Chapel, we had a rental facility from a Baptist church in Arvada, 10369 West 59th Place. And while we were there, we were trying to save towards a building fund and hoping that that would be our next step. And I was invited by a pastor friend of mine down in Phoenix, down to a missionary meeting. It was down at 9th and Acoma. I'd never been in that building before. Ninth and Acoma was known as a Denver Revival Center. It goes way back. I remember talking to the Sunday school superintendent there in 1949, said they had 1,000 people in Sunday school in that building. But when I went down, it was empty. We had that meeting, but there was something about the building that I don't know what it was, but it's almost like the Lord was saying to me, welcome home. And I said, you don't mean this is going to be the place that you want us to move to? I said, well, we're out in Arvada. And I couldn't drop it. I took two or three of the men, my wife, some of us went down, and we walked around that facility and we prayed. And I would ask men like George Latham, what do you think about it? And he says, in the natural, I say no. It's an old building. It's going to need repairs. There's no off-street parking. But God says yes. He moved in a tremendous way. When we got ready to move in that building, I was pretty active in the Full Gospel Businessmen, and a group of those guys got me and said, Pastor, you're going to make a horrible mistake. There was a tremendous work here, but it's past. I mean, such names were thrown around as Billy Sunday and Catherine Kuhlman that had ministered down there. I said, churches are moving out to the suburb. You don't want to come down here. But every time we were there and prayed about it, I just had to follow it up. And when I wanted to follow up with the ownership, we checked it out that the church had not been able to keep up their loans, so they had lost the building. So which bank has it? I checked on the bank. The bank went into receivership. I finally was told that the FDIC, Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, they're liquidators. They have an office here in Denver, and they want to liquidate that property. I won't mention the man's name, but we became friends. I went to him several times, and he said, Pastor, we don't rent. We're liquidators. We're glad to sell you that property. And we really didn't have the money to purchase it. I wanted to rent. And finally, he told me, he got tired of talking to me. He said, Bob, if you bring some kind of an offer, I'll send it to Washington. I know it's not going to pass, but I'll send it. So we drew something up that... the loan that they had was over $200,000 that they forfeited. We didn't have that kind of money. And trying to get all my thoughts to come here. What we put in the letter that he sent to Washington was that we would like to rent the facility for a year, and at the end of the year we'll pay such and such a price and purchase it. We need a year to raise the money. And we staggered it, so like the first 3 months was a certain payment, then it increased the next 3 months, and increased, and finally the year was up and we'd have to have the money. God was so amazing that the work began to grow and people just began to come, word began to spread. And I think if Pastor Ray was here, he could tell you, I think we closed that with maybe a day or two to spare. And we had the building. Boy, we jumped in and we started painting rooms and cleaning up, and I just think of the miracle that God did. it's a wonder we got a use permit for it. It's amazing. And no off-street parking. People began to come, and I remember Pastor Ray telling me at one time we had in that box, that old building, 1,200 people, Pastor Ray said, are here on a Sunday morning. People would walk for blocks to come. The Spirit of God was just moving. It actually became a fresh oil center. Many times the Lord reminded me of a scripture in 2 Kings. I can't tell you what chapter it is. It's probably around chapter 10. Elisha was a prophet that followed Elijah. He was a tremendous man of God. And the Bible says he passed away. And evidently the Moabites wanted to take advantage of a weakened Israel. And they began to invade the land. And I think it's that 10th chapter. It talks about they were taking a certain man to bury him. And here comes the Moabites. And the nearest place they could get rid of the body was the sepulcher where Elisha was buried. So they opened it up and threw this guy in. And when he hit the bones of Elijah, boom, he jumped up. He came alive. I mean, people, that's what happened down at Ninth and Acoma. Some fresh oil hit into that dead situation. I think of really the after services extended longer than a regular service. It was just a matter of God confirming His word. Hallelujah. I know that in this hour, God has a special work for this church to do, and I think it's going to be the key is going to be Psalm 92:10, to be anointed with fresh oil. I would love to have the time, had the strength to just to personally, just not pray a prayer over you, but just anoint you with a two-word statement, fresh oil. Every one of you need that. It can make a difference. But I think it's okay. George would approve if I wonder. I believe in signs following. I can't find myself in any place that I'll throw that out. God confirms His word with signs following. There must be, in a congregation this size, two or three people, or maybe more, maybe not any. I hope there's any. But you're in some kind of a pain, whether it's your back or whatever. I bought my little bottle of oil that I got the last time I was in Israel. And if you have any pain in your body, could you come up here? I'd just like to anoint you with fresh oil. Is there anybody here that has a pain in your body? Could you come up and stand here for a minute? The Bible says these signs shall follow them that believe. And one of the signs is health. Usually when we would pray for people, a person extends a long prayer. I just think the Bible's God's word. And the Bible says in Psalm 92:10 that God has promotion for His church in this hour. And I'm going to take it beyond what he said. I'm just going to ask for fresh oil for your life. And I would be sure, because of the feeling I have in my spirit, I've been through this so many times, whether you get healed right at the altar, I wouldn't doubt it happens right at the altar. But it may happen in your sleep tonight. Maybe you get up in the morning, it's gone. I wouldn't do this if I didn't know God was going to touch some people. Hallelujah. Tammy, come up here and stand with me. Or Alan, come on up. Come on around here, Alan.
Thank you. Would you stand with me? I think you caught it like I caught it. I thought the overwhelming thing I was, overwhelming and overriding thing I was getting was for today, we need that anointing. Not relying on the past, but what's ahead of us. We're going to need God's strength. It's got to be supernatural. And I know a lot of us in here maybe walk with the Lord a long time. Sometimes it's harder for us to receive and believe because, I don't know, we just kind of accept what we have. But I want a new anointing. I want this church. And he mentioned the church is going to need a new anointing to be used. And I believe what God started with this ministry, he will complete. Do you believe that? Till the day Jesus comes back. And we're living in most difficult times. But God can give us the strength for the job he's called us to do. He doesn't know that, but I'm going to call him back to pray for all of us for the strength. We're all individuals, but we make up the body of Christ, right? We're individuals, so we individually need strength. But let us pray that that strength added to someone else's strength makes the strength of the body to be what we need to be in this day. So Pastor Bob, I'm going to ask you to come back. I don't know if you heard us, but you didn't need to hear me. You just need to pray for us. I want you to pray for that fresh oil and strength. You kept saying strength for the day we're living in. So strength individually, but strength as a body. That what God began through your ministry here and your obedience to God, he'll continue to do until Jesus comes back.
Father, we thank you that we can be in a free country and that we can choose the way that we would worship. And Father, we want to say amen to your word. Amen.
Yes.
The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever.
Amen.
Psalm 89:34, my covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is going forth out of my mouth.
He said it.
Psalm 119:89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Uh-huh. And Father, we believe what the Lord Jesus taught us in Luke 21:33, heaven and earth shall pass away, but this word shall never pass away. God, I pray that there will be a Psalm 92:10 anointing that will hit this church and Pastor George and Jason and people. God, our country needs it.
We
need to believe you, God. Tell people, Psalm 27:1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Wait on the Lord, verse 14 says. Wait on the Lord and be strong and courageous, and he'll bring to pass that healing. I pray that it will be more than just a sprinkling of people, but it will be a large move of the Spirit.
Glory.
God, I thank you. It's time just that the people see the miraculous and signs and wonders. We saw you take a facility that nobody wanted with no parking lot and pack it out with people, and people would walk for blocks to get into that church. God, you brought fresh oil. And I speak over this congregation.
God, we receive
fresh oil.
We receive
in
it.
Jesus'
in
name.
In the name of Jesus.
Jesus' name.
We receive it with thankfulness.
Oh, thank you.
Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I know we receive that. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Pastor Bob. We appreciate it. We'll be praying for you and your strength, too. Amen? All right. You're free to go. Have a great, strong, anointed week. Amen? Hallelujah.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.